ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। हरे कृष्णा। Some different verses there here. Different verses there. Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. Hare Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Hare Krishna. We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 9, verse number 15, 16, 17. I should read, maybe I'll read this verse and then I'll come to that verse. We'll repeat that verse, okay? Sannivesya mano yasmit chadraya munayo malaha raigunyam dustajyam hitva sadyo yatas tadatmatam. Great sages, completely freed from material lusty desires, devote their minds fully to the service of the Lord. Such persons are liberated from material bondage without difficulty, and they become transcendentally situated, acquiring the spiritual quality of the Lord. This is the glory of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Text 16. I will chant this myself. Shruto bhagirda jyadne tasya nabho paro bhavat सिंधुद्वीपस ततस्तस्माद् युतायुस्ततो भवत्। नाउ वी कैन चैंट टुगेदर। ऋतुपर्णो नलसखो योश्वा विद्याम् अयान् नलात् दत्वक्ष हृदयम् चास्मै सर्वकामस्तु तत्सुतम् ऋतुपर्णो नलसखो योश्वविद्याम् मया नलात् दत्वाक्षरदयम् चास्मै सर्वकामस्तु तत्सुतम्।
श्रुतः, द सन नेम श्रुत, भागीरथात, फ्रॉम भागीरथा जदने वॉज बॉर्न। तस्य ऑफ श्रुत नाभ बाय द नेम नाभ, अपरह डिफरेंट फ्रॉम नाभ प्रीवियसली डिस्क्राइब्ड, अभवत वॉज बॉर्न सिंधुद्वीप बाय द नेम सिंधुद्वीप। ततः फ्रॉम नाभ, तस्मात फ्रॉम सिंधुद्वीप, अयुतायुहु द सन नेम्ड अयुतायु, ततः देयर आफ्टर अभवत वॉज बॉर्न ऋतुपर्ण, अ सन नेम्ड ऋतुपर्ण।
Nalasakaha, who was a friend of Nala. Yaha, one who, Ashvavidyam, the art of controlling horses. Ayat, achieved. Nalat, from Nala. Dattva, after giving in exchange. Aksharadayam, the secret of the art of gambling. Cha, and Asmai, unto Nala. Sarvakamaha, by the name Sarvakama. Tu, indeed. Tatsutam, his son, the son of Rituparna. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Bhagirath had a son named Shruta, whose son was Nabha. This son was different from the Nabha previously described. Nabha had a son named Sindhudvipa. From Sindhudvipa came Ayutayu, and from Ayutayu came Rituparna, who became a friend of Nalaraj. Rituparna taught Nalaraj the art of gambling, and Nalaraj gave Rituparna lessons in controlling and maintaining horses. The son of Rituparna was Sarvakama. Purport. Gambling is an art. Kshatriyas are allowed to exhibit talent in this art of gambling. By the grace of Krishna, Pandavas lost everything by gambling and were deprived of their kingdom, wife, family and home because they were not expert in the gambling art. In other words, a devotee may not be expert in materialistic activities. It is therefore advised in the Shastra that materialistic activities are not at all suitable for the living entities, especially for the devotees. A devotee should therefore be satisfied to eat whatever is sent as prasad by the Supreme Lord. A devotee remains pure because he does not take to sinful activities such as gambling, intoxication, meat eating and illicit sex. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada said that these purports are my ecstasies. Several times he said that. And even in his ecstasy, obviously whatever he is writing is ecstasy, because when he was writing he would just lose his whole awareness, it will be absorbed into this. But the great sages like Srila Prabhupada, even though when they are experiencing great ecstasy, they do not lose the touch with the ground, and at the same time they do not forget their compassion for the fallen conditioned souls. Otherwise, when we are describing Bhagiratha and his dynasty, Prabhupada is saying devotees should not indulge into four things. They should chant Hare Krishna and perform their sadhana. So this is very wonderful actually. Srila Prabhupada, overwhelmingly he had compassion. I also asked my Gurudev, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, that you met so many people on your journey, and so many were very advanced devotees and yogis also. So how did you not get inspired by anybody in between to get initiation? Even he met so many people in Vrindavan also, who were Vaishnavas, not necessarily yogis. So he said that there were so many great souls, but the compassion that Prabhupada had was unparalleled. His compassion was superfluous, unbelievable, that he did so much service although he had all luxuries spiritually in Radha Damodar temple, and so many wonderful ideal situation for a aged sadhu, perfectly placed in the hub of the spiritual world, the Radha Damodar Mandir, in front of Rupa Goswami's Samadhi. So no wise sadhu will leave that situation and go to the place where it is so much difficulty. From the point of view of performing sadhana also, from the point of view of preaching service, from all points of view. But that compassion was so much pushing from within that he could tolerate everything whatever he had to go through. And his compassion still remained alive through all the difficulties in the first year, second year. And slowly, slowly the movement took place. It took shape and took root. But Srila Prabhupada's compassion was so overwhelming. It remained burning like the topmost flame for so many years till he left this world. And his compassion also is exhibited in the room where he left his body. He was hardly eating and sleeping. But that particular photo and that particular video is so inspiring. There is only skin and bones, no energy. Sometimes people had to lift his eyebrows to show him who has come. You know, eyebrows, I mean eyelids. Lift them and show them. Prabhupada, somebody has come to meet you. In that condition also he is translating Brahma Sammohan Leela, the 10th canto, 14th chapter. He is translating. For whom he is translating? He could have said, I have done my job now, remaining you do and let me chant now. But even from the deathbed, from the most difficult physical condition, he was still trying to one more shloka, till the last moment, whatever he could, he translated. Same thing, again, compassion, love for the devotees, love for all the followers, compassion for all of them, to give them the best of all best possible. If I can give 1 ounce more, I will give 1 ounce more. If it is difficult, 10 grams more, I will give 10 grams more. Till last breath. So this is the spirit of Vaishnava Acharyas. They don't live for themselves, they live for everybody else in the world. Not only for disciples or followers, they live for every living entity, every single living entity. Who may know that, or they are followers, or they may not know that they are followers. So it is always repeated, the statements in kind of when we glorify Prabhupada, that he was not the Acharya only for ISKCON, you know. He was Acharya for everybody. He had shown his compassion to so many people who didn't actually become his disciples, but he was so kind with them. So this nature of the Acharyas, we need to absorb actually, adopt. Because when this nature is there, lot of mercy of the Lord is getting showered upon us. Moment we develop that compassion, we get connected with the ocean of compassion, the Supreme Lord. And then onwards, everything that ocean of compassion does through the connection. And that is not impossible in one sense. To a certain degree, we also can experience that connection. And that connection is basically when we chant the holy name, our heart gets purified, we get cleansed, our original nature starts getting revealed. So, Nama Ruchi will give us that purification and an impetus to continue. Then, is that Vaishnava Seva? After that? So, it's also mentioned in this verse. That moment one starts getting revived in Krishna consciousness, immediately there is attachment to service. Immediately service starts, and service becomes the inevitable part of that devotee's life. And when one is satisfactorily, one performs service to devotees, then that jivadaya, the third aspect, arrives in the heart of devotees. And all that secret of developing jivadaya is a good sadhana, good engagement in service to Vaishnavas. is also mentioned in 15th verse here, which we read first, that those who are free from lusty desires, they devote their minds fully in the service of the Lord, and of course with the devotees. And this service of the Lord is a true antidote of any material infliction or material disease. Like in medicine, in doctors, you know, we give vaccines. So the vaccines are those things which are there in the blood, which we inject. And then you go into any epidemic, endemic area, you don't get infected by that disease which is prevalent everywhere. Suppose the malaria is there, or cholera is there, or typhoid is there, and dengue is there. So there's a vaccine that we give, and then even though you are moving in that area, you get all mosquito bites, everything, but you don't get the disease. That's called vaccine or antidote. The same way, our antidote, we are in the endemic area of Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadhi Ahara Nidra Vaya Maituna. Our endemic area is this, we are inflicted by this material desires and activities and entanglements and sufferings and sufferings and sufferings after sufferings. And if we want to remain away or remain unaffected by the atmosphere around, then we need to take the vaccine, which is twofold. One is the chanting of Hare Krishna and four regulative principles, and second is Vaishnav Seva. Bhagavad Seva, Vaishnav Seva. If one develops an liking for these two things, and then really goes into these two things, then Maya has no power to touch anybody who is absorbed in these things. And sometimes we sleep during chanting, sometimes we may be sleeping during reading or doing anything, but when we are doing seva, I don't think anybody sleeps. If you are doing flower garlands, we are doing deity worship, suppose you are cooking in the kitchen or you are doing something like that, I don't think, unless somebody is very sick or very tired for many days, he'll fall asleep there. So seva is a permanent guaranteed connection of the soul living entity with the Lord all the time. And the most important thing, it prevents us from getting affected by the material atmosphere and material desires. It's a powerful antidote. So we need to see that Srila Prabhupada always wanted us to be engaged constantly. He said, oh, we can chant 24 hours a day, but we are not capable of chanting 24 hours a day. So that is why 2 hours you chant 16 rounds and sometimes more than that. But remain engaged. Keep your senses constantly engaged in service. Not service to senses, service to Krishna, following order of Guru Maharaj, serving to Vaishnavas, taking care of devotees, whatever menial service we can get. But one cannot remain idle. Because suppose we are 99% busy in chanting and serving, and 1% is somewhere free. Through that 1% hole, Maya Devi will come and sweep us away. Maya will not leave us, you know, point, not 1% hole also is there in between. Maya will sweep us away, flood us away, and all that 99% effort will be destroyed within no time. There is one hole in between. So the biggest challenge is to be engaged always, all the time. And the engagement should begin from the mind first. The mind is absorbed, is always thinking about the service, preparing for service. Like sometimes, you know, we have to give class. For today, I am to give class. So what happens? Right from morning, we wake up, we are brushing our teeth, taking bath, mind is contemplating. So, you know, it's so wonderful actually, because I would be thinking something else maybe other days, but when the class is there, mind is fully absorbed. What is to be spoken this day? Or when the camp is going to start, you know, we are meditating how to serve the Brijvasis. Or we are getting a phone call from some devotee is coming to Bhaktivedanta and he needs room and he needs checkup, which doctor to see. So his meditation is going on. So it's a very wonderful antidote. The thought of serving, the planning of serving is a beautiful savior for us. Otherwise our mind by nature will keep working, thinking, willing, feeling. It is not going to stop. We have to just see that we think of this and we desire this and we thinking, will, and we feel this, we experience this. So, and Srila Prabhupada, I always tell this, I will keep telling, and I am proud of telling this, that Srila Prabhupada has given us such a fantastic organization where we can remain engaged. There is no spacing out. If you want to space out, we can space out. But if you want to be engaged, there is so much opportunity. There is no dearth of service for then somebody who wants to serve. There is no dearth. We need to find it. We need to have a desire. And the desire will come through satsanga, through association of devotees, reading Prabhupada's books. How much energy and how much desire and how much sacrifice he has invested in these books to draw the inspiration to keep serving all the time. And that's why let us all get convinced that for now and for the future, Srila Prabhupada's institute is only future, because it has that dynamism. It has got the energy. We see people coming from all over countries where there was iron curtain before, and there is still iron curtain there now also. Imagine the devotees, the sannyasis, the gurus who are going there, how much conviction they must have transferred to the hearts of those people in that country. It makes them come here all the way, settle down, wear dhoti and kurta, and you know, translate sometimes 3-3 times in English and then some other language. People are listening. And so much inspiration is there to visit holy places, and they stay here in Kartik month. When I see them, I feel how much energy is there in Prabhupada's movement. He has left 42 years back, and still flocks of people are coming and joining. Sometimes we Indians feel we are nothing actually. What we are doing? How much conviction these people have, and how much opportunity for service they have created, and Srila Prabhupada created originally. So that anybody after 100 years of Prabhupada's departure has some spark in him, this atmosphere like this, the Kamal tree, you know, like it will cover that soul completely, engulf that soul, envelop that soul, protect that soul, and save that soul from the inflictions of Maya. We cannot imagine how much fortunate we are actually. That moment was very fortunate moment when somebody knocked at our door and said, chant Hare Krishna. And we refused and we fought. But then that person persisted, and someday, the most fortunate day, we began chanting Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. We did not know what are we entering into. But for sure, we have entered into the ocean of bliss. It is our fortune actually. So, regularly we should convince ourselves that we are very fortunate. Regularly we should be grateful for what we have received. It should be a regular affair. Because that gratitude and that feeling of gratitude and thankfulness, you know, will enrich us from within. Will make us blissful at the same time. Will save us from the inflictions of Maya. Because gratitude also attracts a higher connection from the Lord to us. Gratitude is a very powerful method by which we get completely engulfed by the mercy of the Lord. It attracts the mercy of the Lord. One who is grateful, Krishna is so happy with that person. For what we have received from Prabhupada, from our Guru and from devotees around, if you are grateful for that, that will give us much antidote and much vaccine within us. But our fear is only one. Oh, so many years have passed, I have been doing this service and chanting, but sometimes there are weak moments and we can just get destroyed completely. So that's why Srila Prabhupada, when he would be seen praying with folded hands, devotees would ask him, Prabhupada, what are you praying for? Prabhupada said, I am praying for what is that? Not to fall down. I am praying to be saved from Maya. So it was like a joke, you know, how Prabhupada you will. But he said, this prayer itself is the success of not falling into Maya. To be aware that I may fall, and to be aware that I should be also praying, and to be aware that I should pray, is itself an antidote. So no stage in life is foolproof. All stages of life, we need to be connected, we need to be engaged, we need to be praying for constantly. Jad Bharat, our King Bharat was so Prabhupada would say he used to be so close to Krishna actually, to the perfection of life. But from there, three lifetimes were spent in again returning back to the original state. So who can claim? All these wonderful jewels of realizations are given by Prabhupada to us so that we can protect ourselves and always remain high forever. It's possible from right from the day one to any day in between to the end stage. It always remains high forever. This is all practical, this is not theory, this is not to allure people, not to tempt people with something false. It's not a false propaganda. It's a propaganda based on true realization of a pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada. And heartfelt realization, it's not just a theoretical realization heard from others. It's realization which is practiced, which is experienced by an elevated devotee of the Lord, is shared with others. And when we have faith in that, we also get the same experience. I remember the story of Narad Muni, like Srila Prabhupada. Narad Muni was going in the sky and he saw Lord Krishna, Balaram, Subhadra in a very unusual form. Right? So he just came down and he was in so much ecstasy in seeing that ecstasy form of the Lord. Mahabhav exhibition of Lord Krishna as Jagannath and Baldev and Subhadra. Of course, this was an unusual form, but it invoked something unusual love in the heart of Narad Muni. And Narad Muni is already having love of God. It's not that he has having new love of God. Something he already has. But this kind of love that he experienced was something unbelievable. And he was totally engulfed in that, enamored by that. Bha vibhor, he was completely in ecstasy. And he came down and was still in ecstasy. And then the Lord came back to his original shape and external form. So what did he ask? He asked, please assure me that you will come in the material world in the same form. And generally, suppose I'm very happy. I may forget my mobile, my watch, my bag somewhere. I'm too happy. Or dancing in kirtan and too happy, so I may lose my things and my family may scold me. Where is the bag? Where is the these things? So usually when we are in ecstasy or we are too sad, we forget our externals. So Narad Muni is in spiritual ecstasy of seeing the Lord in the most unusual form. He was the first one to see that form. But what is the first thing that he spoke to the Lord? That please come down to the material world so that all the entangled living entities, when they will see you, they will develop something like what I experienced. So that only by seeing you, they will feel the same thing what I have experienced. So please, my Lord, bless me. The Lord also agreed. So what is most touching in this was that Narad Muni never lost touch with the ground. Although he was in ecstasy, but his ecstasy was overwhelmed or superseded by his compassion. That compassionate personality is experiencing ecstasy, but his compassionate nature is always overwhelming everything else in that personality. That's why he doesn't forget that he has to deliver those suffering souls. And Lord is also responding, look at my devotee. He is experiencing ecstasy by my mercy, but he is remembering those souls whom he wants to deliver. And that is Lord's business, Lord's eternal business, to deliver all the fallen conditioned souls. And the devotees like Narad Muni and Srila Prabhupada are the agents in that business. And they never lose touch with that compassion. They always are apt with that compassion. That is why I feel that we are very fortunate. And how to keep remaining fortunate? Keep feeling fortunate. Continue to be fortunate, to feel that way, is to follow the formula given by Prabhupada. We chant Hare Krishna, follow four relative principles, and keep serving the devotees and the Lord under the guidance of devotees, then this mood will be maintained. If at all we go down in our service and gratitude, the only reason is there's nothing wrong in the formula. The only reason is our lack of sincerity, our lack of consistency in what we are doing. Maybe the health will come and knock us in between. You know, like disease will come, something will happen, Maya will use all the tricks. But if we just stick to this four principles and stick to the chanting holy name, and whichever way we can serve the Lord in whatever capacity in that ailing condition also, we will be always safe. We will be always foolproof. There will be no problem. I remember There is one devotee, there was one devotee called Chaitanya Anand Prabhu, His Grace, from Finland. And we had not started the hospice that time. We were constructing. And there was a temporary hospice in MVT, if you remember. There was a place where we used to have devotees who are leaving their body. And this devotee from Finland, 29 year old, he had the same disease as His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami, the melanoma, the worst kind of cancer one can have or whatever. And he had, you know, just to save devotees of trouble, he had, in that condition of pain also, he had gathered all the government aids and every single thing, and he had got lot of stocks of medicines from government aid and everything possible so that he could not trouble devotees to do anything. And he came to Vrindavan here, and he was in such pain, he had such big tumor in the axilla, and he had such serious condition. I used to meet him regularly that time, maybe in 2006 or something like that. But what startling thing in his personality was, he was bedridden, he was in pain, he was in such a condition, but still he would take care of devotees who were taking care of him. It was most striking and most amazing. He would ask them, have you taken prasad? If you have not taken prasad, there is a mahaprasad in the refrigerator, please take it. And take the garland of Radha Shyam Sundarji, Krishna Balaramji, it's there hanging on the nail there. And I went to meet him every time. Before I would speak to him and do something for him, he would say, Prabhu, take some prasad. That garland, please wear yourself. That has been Krishna Balaram's garland. So what was striking was the desire to serve and desire to please the devotees. Desire to, you know, it's a gratitude towards devotees who are coming. I was very much impressed by that. So what I could understand from that was that even though one is in dying stage, still one can remain engaged in service. Like Prabhupada having dictaphone. And then one time I went to see him, many times I went, many visits. And one time he was like in so much pain, that he was like really exhausted. And I went and I saw him and I said, okay, you take rest, I'll come later on. But he immediately woke up. He stood up and he sat down. And I said, Prabhu, please take rest. He said, no. When will I get association of devotees? You have come from so far to be with me. I don't know tomorrow I'll be there or not. Or next time when you come, I'll be there or not. So even that desire to hear is also service. He is respecting and honoring the presence of a devotee. He is so grateful for that presence of a devotee. He is all the way alone. There is no assistant, no servant, no brother, no sister has come with him. Only devotees are around who are taking care of him. So that kind of situation is possible because he must have done a very good sadhana and he must have done good service to devotees when he was good in physical condition. He has acquired that desire to be engaged constantly, and that is only continuing. What you acquire when you are okay in health continues with you when you are sick also, because you have done that best activity when you are okay. So even though you are bedridden, that acquiring that acquired wealth within your heart will not be lost, because that is spiritual. It cannot be lost with the influence of time. This desire to serve, to be engaged, desire to chant, desire to read, desire to hear, it's a spiritual wealth. It's transcendental wealth beyond the effect of time and space. That's why when we are okay, so-called body is always ailing and, I mean, aging and getting old. No doubt about that. Every moment we are getting old. But whenever we are okay, if we adopt this sadhana, desire of being grateful, desire to be engaged, and we actually remain engaged, then that's like a disease. It doesn't leave you, even your body is not in a condition to do so. It's a very beautiful thing actually. That's why we could see Prabhupada translating on the last day also, last days also. Because he had been doing that for last 45 years, right from the 1922 instruction, he was meditating on that. And then it manifested in after 40 years, 30 years. And then what he did for 30 years, for 12 years was unbelievable. That he didn't sleep almost in the night, hardly anything. And he translated and did that service in the night for all the devotees, thousands of them in the future to come. He did all the work physically in the daytime, nighttime he was pouring his realizations in his books. That is why he said, "I am in my books," because he has poured himself in the books. And that those beautiful purports can give us inspiration today also. Today also when I was reading, I could see that there is something else going on. But Prabhupada wants to give us message, gambling is very bad. One should not get into that. Even though you are a devotee, I mean, you are whoever you are, Kshatriya also, but gambling is absolutely, and in absolute sense, bad. And then he says, even Yudhishthir Maharaj, who is dharma personified, he used him to show us, even he, if he engages in such a heinous activity, everything will be destroyed. Home, wealth, reputation, prestige, position, everything will be finished. So, a devotee remains pure because he does not take to sinful activities such as gambling, intoxication, meat eating and illicit sex. He doesn't forget to tell because he knows that we are all inflicted by these desires, you know. Even though we have given up all the activities many years back, but that DNA of experience of enjoying those things is still there in the brain. The DNA is waiting for the right opportunity to multiply. DNA, memory is in the form of DNA, you know, the bond between RNA and DNA in the brain, the chain. And that is always intact. As long as we are engaged, that is inert, inactive. Moment we are free, not engaged, that starts activating itself. So it's always danger. When that DNA will activate and will destroy us, we don't know. The only way to keep that DNA not to get activated and make us act, you know, in action, is to always chant Hare Krishna, follow four principles and remain engaged in service to Krishna. And follow those six things, you know, Satsanga, Hari Nama, Srimad Bhagavatam, deity worship, Dham Vas, staying in the Dham and worshipping Tulsi. Something or other has to be always going on. And then we can be free from any contamination. In the material world, a progressive material world, in progressive Kali Yuga, is always a dangerous situation. Even a moment left to the material world will be destroying us. Things are so bad actually. We come to Vrindavan, we feel so nice actually. We are so much protected by the dham from all the sides, by the dust from all the sides, like this Kalpavruksha trees from all the sides. We go to cities, like crazy situation. And we have to still keep serving and keep chanting and keep doing all those things because so much storm coming and sweeping the devotees also. The world is not even aware of what is being swept by. They are enjoying that gutter water. But for the devotees it is very dangerous and very risky and very discouraging actually to see things around. But what is Oasis is the association of devotees even there in Mumbai. Or wherever, Delhi or any New York City. So we have to hunt for that. So I can create my oasis and protect myself. We can be ultimately selfish in that situation to remain in the company of devotees to protect oneself. But in that transcendental selfishness, we do so much good to everybody. Because everybody who is in that transcendental selfishness of saving oneself is saving everybody else also. This is the beauty of the satsang of devotees. And Prabhupada created so many unlimited oases in the world. So many. You go to Europe, you go to America, you go to Russia, you go to any place, there are oases. You can, you know, protect yourself. Run inside and then have prasadam. See the deities and kirtan. Maybe one person is doing aarti, one person is singing. Many of the temples we see that. But nonetheless, power is there because the activity of engagement of service, in service to Krishna is being performed there. Maybe two devotees, five devotees, or maybe 500 devotees or 5,000 devotees. It doesn't matter. The potency is there. We are connected to Prabhupada through those situations which are created over there. We go there and we feel connected immediately and we feel protected immediately, safe immediately. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. I wanted also one more thing to tell. That we are, when I read before and when I read afterwards, such a beautiful description is there. Such a beautiful description. How Srimad Bhagavatam is planned in such a beautiful way. We think, why there is so many people, whose son, we are going down to know, many odd kind of names which are not used to hear. and then comes to the right point. Oh, this is what is being desired to be told. So before that we read Bhagirath coming down and, you know, saving the earth and saving his ancestors. So what struck me was that Sagar, King Sagar, I think his 60,000 family members were burnt to ashes, and then Anshuman came, and the Anshuman tried, he could not. Then Dilip came and he could not. So this Vamsha is Surya Vamsha, and in this Surya Vamsha Radharani is born, and in Chandra Vamsha this lunar dynasty Sri Krishna is born. So there is a beautiful story I thought I must tell as we are discussing about dynasty of Sagar, Anshuman and Dilip. This King Dilip had gone to Vaikuntha one time, not Vaikuntha, I think heavenly planets, to meet Indra, I think. So that time he forgot to offer pranams to Kamadhenu, the cow, the great cow, you know, Kamadhenu, desire fulfilling cow. And Kamadhenu did not take any offense, but the Lord took as an offense, so that cow was not bowed down to. So the king finished his business and came down, and so many years passed, he never got a son. He was wondering, what happened? Why I should not get a son? I'm a virtuous king. He was a great worshipper of cows also. He was a great virtuous dharmaparayan king also. So there's no reason for him not to have a son to continue dynasty. But he didn't have. So his guru was Vasishtha Muni. He came to Vasishtha Muni and told, Maharaj, please tell me why this is happening. Can you see in the past and present and future of my life and tell me? So Vasishtha Muni meditated and saw his past and future and present, and he came to know he has offended Kamadhenu, that is why he will not get a son. So he told him, said, please tell me, I sir, inadvertently I have done that, please save me. So he said, Kamadhenu is now again traveling to some heavenly planets, but her daughter is with me, Nandini. You serve her, and by serving her and satisfying her, mother will be happy, and you will get free from the curse. What you have received indirectly, not by verbally, from Kamadhenu. So he, of course, was a devotee of cows. So he saw Nandini very nicely, and Nandini was very pleased, and then he got a son. And that son, of course, not immediately, Dilip Raja got that son. He was Raghu, what we say Raghu Vamsha, in which Lord Ram took birth. So that Raghu was born to Dilip. And then in that Raghu Vamsha, Lord Ramchandra took birth. And in that dynasty of Lord Ramchandra, Rashanga Raja came. King Rashanga. He is the one who first established Barsana as a kingdom. He established. And he became king of that place. And in that dynasty of Rashanga, then Mahibhanu, Kunjabhanu, Mahibhanu, and nine brothers, including Rishabhanu Maharaj, took birth. And in that dynasty, the sun god incarnated as Rishabhanu Maharaj. And in his house, Radharani was born. He was awarded with Radharani as his daughter. So this Vamsha is glorious in this way also, the way it goes in Bhagavatam. In other way also, this Vamsha is very glorious, where Radharani, the supreme internal potency, supreme lover of the Lord, the most powerful entity, personality in our spiritual life, took birth. And we have so much mercy. Oh, Radharani is so kind and so blessing. So kindly glancing upon us, engaging all of us. Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. I'm not qualified to sit here, but please forgive me for my impudence. Is there any comment or any instruction? You can please tell me. Hare Krishna.
You were mentioning about gratitude and also
gratitude.
And also that if you really want to do some service, or you know, we'll find out some way, maybe Krishna in the heart will inspire us. But what if, like, you know, you go somewhere and the temple authorities don't allow to engage you properly? You know, you become people sometimes and say, well, can I do it? So, well, come before the deities, attend the programs, and we'll see what Krishna arranges. It's not always that easy to place everyone and find service. So how, what kind of talent should one keep it? I want to do something, but you know, other people are not allowing me to do that. Or how much is it on other people's responsibility to engage us in service?
You are a temple president. I would resort in that situation, I would go and pray to the Lord. I would go and pray to the Lord earnestly to engage me in service, and I will keep coming to you if you are my authority every day to remind you, is there any service? And I'll wait patiently. If Krishna wants me to chant for some time and wait, I will chant. But I'll keep coming to you and requesting, Prabhu, please, any service is there. And by the sincere desire that I have, and by the sincere prayer that I perform, you will find some service for me. You will be revealed some service for me. 100%. Because it's not mechanical. It's always spiritual. These things are very spiritual. And when we are sincere, Lord understands our spiritual sincerity. And then there may be some time, but response is always there. Always there. You may go to a place where we may not know where we are and what is the kind of service I can do there. But service will be available. 100%. Lord will inspire you as a president. Lord will inspire the person, and there will be service. Because if the Lord's business is to deliver us, and the only way to get delivered is to be engaged in service through our senses, in the master of senses service, then He will have to give you service and ask service, right? If He says, I want to deliver everybody, and He has no service for that person who wants to get engaged, it's an irony. So Lord will provide. But we also need to be a little patient. If there is always a, Prabhupada always said, there is an eternal service of chanting Hare Krishna. If there is no service, we chant Hare Krishna. It's also service, very important service. We can read His books. If we can get some free time, read His books if there is no service. We can pray, we can sing the Acharya's bhajans and connect with the bhav that they have. So there is no actually free time in Krishna consciousness. If there is no physical service, there is so much to do. I have not read all bhajans of all Acharyas. I have not read and meditated on every purport of Prabhupada. So open the book and read. If there is no service in the plane, we are going to America in this 14-hour flight and no apparent seva. So what we do? We hear and we read all day. And in between we go to sleep. Come back again and read. Because Prabhupada has provided so much facility for us to be engaged in this form also. Thank you, Prabhuji. Yes, Prabhuji. Yes, Prabhuji.
Yeah, but sometimes devotee can say, no, I am not qualified, I am not fortunate. So what is the discernment making us?
Qualified for what? Not qualified for what?
For whatever you say, you are fortunate to you are advanced devotee, you are going back to Maria. So I am not qualified to go back to Maria. So what do you say?
So what is the question? I didn't understand.
The question is,
do not qualify.
Nobody is qualified here. I don't think there's any qualification. What is that? Hare Krishna. But Prabhupada said that He gave us the qualification, right? Our qualification is that we have received the Mahamantra through His channel. Our qualification is that we have received the formula from His channel through His disciples, and the facility to execute that formula. That's our qualification. So sometimes the qualification is causeless mercy, and being in ISKCON is being recipient of causeless mercy. This is a fact. Otherwise, you know, I know what I would be doing if I was not here. I very much know. Yes. Yes.
The connection with this pastime about liberation of the songs of Sagara. I cannot understand, because after many generations have passed, when Bhagirath arrived there, the horse was still there. How this can be explained? Because the horse don't live so much time. It was still there in the place of Kapila. What kind of horse is this? I cannot understand.
Which horse?
The sacrifice horse. The horse that was
meant
for the sacrifice.
Haan. Ashwamedha.
Yeah, Ashwamedha.
Haan.
He was banned in Kapila Dev heritage. And after many generations, when King Bhagirata arrived there, He was still there. How this can be explained? Sorry for changing.
There is the connectivity between the generations is unbroken. It is always there. So, I may not be able to explain exactly what you are saying, but what I understand from that is, however generations have passed, but the sin of Vaishnava Aparad done by 60,000 ancestors is connected to us. And that will affect all of us. So, Bhagirath had that full understanding and knowledge. And everybody else also had, but they were not successful. And Bhagirath was successful. So, he delivered everybody by his effort. Is that right? I may not be understanding your question actually.
Because you know, the songs of Sagara were looking for the horse that was meant for the sacrifice. And then when I arrived in the hermitage of Kapila, they find the horse there. And they offended Kapila. And then
they were burned
into ashes by the hate of the sage.
So, okay, now I got the question.
And then after this, so many generations had passed. And when Bhagirath arrived there, the horse was still there.
Yes.
And they didn't understand.
Yeah. So, that is all transcendental. Basically, we are trying to understand from our time frame. The time frame of having 60 years life, 70 years life. We are always with that time frame understanding. But that time when that Leela was going on, the time frame was not our time frame. The time frame is millions of years in Satyayuga. So in that time frame is like 4 days back, right? Maybe 3 months back. I can relate and you can relate when I say 3 months back. But if I say 5 million years back, I'm out of context, you know. But that time I'm not out of context. When I'm in that era of timings, my understanding of timing, my perception of timing is all that era timings. So that's why it is all connected. So it's like 3 months before. Satyayuga time frame is like that, 3 months before. So I can relate. So that they can relate. 3 generations before or 4 generations before. So horse was there. What happened when King Revataka went to Brahmaji for to find husband for his daughter? So when he came back, so many generations passed. But still they were alive and they came down and they met Balramji and they got married. Like why Revati is from Satyayuga? And so many kalpas have passed. He travelled to Brahma, then he came back to Prithvi Loka again. So, because he was from that era, he had that time frame understanding. And Balramji was from Dwapar Yuga, but he is transcendental personality. So they could connect. So, our body of this age also gives us the understanding of this time frame. But when our bodies are from Satya Yuga, it gives us understanding of that time frame. That kind of software is there in the brain of that Yuga. That's how it is. And Srimad Bhagavatam is a very wonderful scripture. It connects us to all the yugas and it gives an understanding of all time frames. Hare Bol. I hope I have answered your question. Hare Krishna. So shall we end here? Anyone question is there? Yes, please take. As long as President allows, we can continue.
Thank you for your wonderful, very clear class. It's so many different points you brought up, which are very new from some of them. So you talked about how Prabhupada was doing translation and then towards the end of his life also he was doing that. I desire to hear a little bit more about this point that whatever you are doing, you do it till the end. And then what happens after the end also, I would like to relate it to your service.
When you are completely absorbed in a particular service and you keep doing it in last moment, maybe the body may not allow you after some time, but your heart is in that service continues spiritually in the future. The type may be different, but what Lord will accept from that is the attitude of service, seva pravrutti. Like Prabhupada may not be translating books in spiritual world now. He may be herding cows with Krishna. But that attitude of service, consistently, attitude, will be accepted by Krishna and will be responded to by Krishna, and you will be getting engaged in that response of Krishna in the spiritual world. Or if we come back again,
then it continues over here. What is carried forward is our spiritual wealth. And if the spiritual wealth is our desire to serve, in essence, then the type of service may differ, but the desire will be continued, and when next life comes, service will continue. If you go back to Godhead, service will continue. If you come back in the material world in another body, service will continue. So what is most important is to cultivate that desire to serve in this lifetime. Very important. Service may differ. Today we may garland, tomorrow we may do management. But the desire to serve has to be there. And that has to be cultivated. And that will be carried forward. Hare Krishna. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Ho. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.